Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the United Religions Initiative, Global Indigenous Initiative, and Now Time Radio's presentation of Indigenous Voices. Indigenous Voices features Indigenous artists, activists, wisdom keepers, and spiritual leaders raising their voices to bring messages from an Indigenous perspective on cultural heritage, women and children, the environment, our relationship to Mother Earth, preservation of sacred sites, human rights, spirituality, religion, and interfaith. The United Religions Initiative is a global grassroots interfaith network that cultivates peace and justice by engaging people to bridge religious and cultural differences and work together for the good of their community and the world. To join the call during Indigenous Voices on Now Time Radio, call 424-243-9656. You may also live stream or listen to the podcast at any time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Now Time Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are in the world today. Welcome to Indigenous Voices on Now Time Radio. My guest today is Dr. Yassine Kayate of Mali, West Africa. Yassine was born into the sacred lineage of the Bambara Jali, the genealogist and epic poet of the Malian society. He holds a PhD in molecular biology from the University of California at Davis and a Master of Science in Genetics from Moscow State University in Russia. He has conducted and published scientific research in academia and the biotechnology industry in the areas of plant-virus interaction, genetics, and immunodiagnostics, including a patented method and device for HIV analysis and research. He is a student of cultural history, and as such, he stewards the wisdom and traditions of thousands of years of the Bambara and Dogon people. As a consultant for the Timbuktu Education Foundation, Dr. Kayate participated in the making of the documentary Timbuktu, The Untold Story, produced in 2003. He is a singer, musician of just all kinds of instruments. A multi-instrumentalist is not even doing him justice. He is a performer and a producer. He teaches and speaks not only in this country but around the world on the music and spiritual traditions of Africa, microbiology, the intersections of ancient wisdom and modern science, and other topics. And this has taken him, as I said, around the world to many colleges and universities. I'd like to play one of his musical selections now.
Thank you.
We had a little bit of Simon challenge right there, but we got you, and that's what's most important. And welcome to Indigenous Voices. One lesson that I always learn from you, Yasin, is that everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to. One of the things I want to do here. Bear with me one second. I'm going to mic you into our call in. So let me see. Let me get that set up. Okay. All right. Welcome. And Yasin, I don't know if you heard the introduction prior, but once again, welcome. I really wanted to say to our listening audience and to you that of anyone that I've met anywhere in the world, you live inside your music. Does that sound like a true statement to you?
Well, I think that's about that I everybody sees everybody there, see people express themselves, and then become part of the whole culture. And that's part of us, how we carry through the world. We can continue the world that we do. We are part of the amazing thing from the garden that we had in Northern California. You know, who is to see that commonality. I mean, one of the most powerful binding forces there is among them.
Yes, Yasin, one of the comments that I've gotten back from many of those who were gathered at the Global Indigenous Gathering Hidden Seeds in California was the importance of beginning in ceremony. More comments came from that than any other question as we got feedback on the gathering and the significance to each individual person. But more important than some of the topics we talked about was that beginning of this gathering in a sacred circle, in a sacred way. Can you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. And opening. And it is an opening for each and every one of us over there. I think this is probably one of the first times in history that you have people from such diverse traditions being able to sit around different land, gather, and share what they have in common. And also each and every one of us brought in from our people that we thought could be shared with everybody else. Remember, we shared the story of the frog and the chameleon. About the first human being. The story ends by letting us know that the first human being is the human being who has that need for me. And you cannot heal anybody else before you heal yourself.
Nah.
And I think that that gathering, you know, brought healing to everybody. Mm-hmm. But also, we all have a different understanding of how the consciousness works. You know, because for me, everything that can happen is called exactly the way it's performed. And then because we are eternal, and so we learn from what happened, so for the next step, we learn something else that we didn't think about. But it was a beautiful gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful gathering. And the end ceremony, to see the way it was supposed to.
Yeah.
First of all, it was really amazing to be able to, to gather everybody in the same place. But I felt good, I felt expanded, and I felt like the movement expanded. And, of course, the IP on the screen would be the document.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The denouncing of that document.
The document,
you know,
of
the
discovery.
Of that document.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The denouncing of the document is supposed to be part of it. People are.
Yasin, I wanted to ask you a question, just switching gears for a moment, because while you are a beautiful musician and storyteller, you're also a scientist.
Yes.
Let's talk for a moment from that perspective. What inspired you into the sciences, specifically genetics, and could you share a little bit more about that side of yourself with us?
Yes, I mean, it's like, you know, what inspired me, that really, it's nice because when I grew up, you know, I went to high school, and after high school, they didn't really ask you what you want. They ask you a few things that you want to study. And so after high school, I had a scholarship to study biology in Russia. You know, I went and studied, and I got a master's, and I went back to my degree, and I worked back prison. And then there is another opportunity to come back here. Yeah, because the virus, and after certain viruses, I got out of, when I got out of university, I worked for a voucher company, you know, we created the HIV test that we were really portable. So we took it all over the globe, we had to make it affordable for people to do it. You know, we've been going to life and we study different things, and one day we realized that everything that we studied actually have led us to one thing. You know, what was my turning point in a lot of things? There is a book that's called The Cosmic Serpent. The Cosmic Serpent talks about DNA. It also talks about the limits of biology. But the other point that also turned me around is that I come from a place where there are other dimensions that people are able to be. I mean, to show you things that do not fit in the realm of efficient kind in terms of how modern thinking is not always true. There are some things that are not sustainable because they are not real. You understand?
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
Yes. And so I found myself, you know, like in the center of all of that. And especially in terms of the commonality of mythology, you know, mythology and modern times. You know, in the mythology of the Dogons, which are people like in the shape of a demon. But one of the things also turned into water, the Nemo goes to water, so they always believe and know that water has life and water has memory. And you have the scientific experiment teacher that's named Dr. Emoto. So we had a whole book about it, about being able to show that the crystals, when they crystallized in the water, where intentions or even words were expressed, can affect the size of the crystal. Mm. It's very fast. The beginning of the validation of a lot of things that are said in the ancient traditions.
Wow.
And so all these different things are really pushing me towards, you know, trying to understand a little bit more about what was happening then and how we can see what was happening there. From, I mean, to better ourselves and find peace.
Tell me a little bit, we're going to switch gears one more time. You know, a half hour doesn't do us justice, so you know I want to have you back on the show again, because I really, this topic we could probably spend the whole hours on, not just another show. But tell me about the work that you've been doing with Timbuktu and the recovery of the languages and the documents and preservation of some of the books. I think there are thousands of books that are there.
Millions, 700,000. I mean, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Because that is really about one of the misconceptions about the continent was that it is called, you know.
Uh-huh.
But in the 12th century, some of the most valuable commerce was the commerce of books. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are more than 700,000 manuscripts.
Wow.
And 700,000 manuscripts, and there are manuscripts not only in Timbuktu, you have manuscripts, you know, in Cuba, you have manuscripts in different places of the continent, you know? And you have people who are, like, some people who call the Sea of the 333 saints. You know, and those groups, the writings, the letters are Arabic, but the African languages. And there are books about all kinds of subjects, astronomy, mathematics, all those different things. I mean, the books have been digitalized and way before, you know, like from 10, 15, 20 years ago, when the foundation was started in Alameda here, and the two brothers here to go to Phoenix and back and forth. But you know what happened, but there's a gain money.
Yes. So is the foundation still active? Are you still asking for donations?
Yes, the foundation exists, but also the modern government. People can go online, and there are thousands of foundations today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the South African government, you know, the president, Donald Zuma, came down to Mali. He came to center there. That was before, I mean, the Chinese invasion. You know, those news about this, the question is so that people can know about it. Because a lot of people still think when they hear the word, they don't feel that it means to be done. To go as far as you know, they don't realize that it's more the learning center and it seems to be the learning center.
Mm-hmm.
And it can all be the nearest to the thing, there is the organized city called Geno. Geno is like 200 years BC.
Wow.
200 years.
Mm.
A lot of history in that region. A lot of history. You know, because the place that called Mali and now, I mean, those places were called before the Ghana Empire in the 10th and 11th century. And then it became the Mali Empire. And then it became the Songhai Empire. But it was all, you know, located in the same big area.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of different cultures, subcultures, but at the same time there is, you know, a common ground. And the common ground there has always been, you know, for people to be able to get along.
Mm-hmm. And have you studied with the Dogon there as well?
The Dogon and the Bambaras are one of the people who there's so much material in the library here about them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the interesting thing. You know, when Martin Brill wrote his book in the 30s, he wrote everything that he was told, but recently what is coming out of the Dogon's knowledge in terms of comparing to the Western, the modern knowledge is coming out of an American writer that is in New York. The book is called The Science of the Dogon. You got a series of phrases, and in those books, it allows people to recognize symbols. Because, you know, teachings are about symbols. And so one of the aspects of this type of knowledge coming to life, you know, it's like you have to teach people to respect each other. It's not because somebody is living in this heart that he does not have the wisdom to, you know. And that is, and the deeper part of that problem resides at the United Nations, you know, because we are living right now in the 21st century. Questions that affect our community. But how can you have nations have, like, the right of people? It means what? Wisdom is something that you don't acquire. You don't acquire only in books. You know, the
mm-hmm.
difference between indigenous knowledge is you have a lot of stuff. I mean, you have things that have truth, time, I mean, the set of age. But sometimes the modern world tends to go against common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so because somehow, I mean, this is some people are delusional about their intellectual superiority, which is completely bogus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why then you have, you know, sciences like mathematics and all those things, astronomy, and you have the people who have the same data, and data are even more accurate. But if you check yourself, and you stop thinking that you are the only one who is right, that's not what it is.
You're absolutely, you know, telling the truth there, that knowledge comes, you know, in an indigenous way. It's a circle, and we're all on that circle somewhere, which means we all have something very important to bring to the
exactly.
surface. And, you know, I think one of the things that we're seeing played out in the world now is that we've forgotten that we're all a part of the same hoop. And,
Exactly.
So we don't respect each other, and we don't treat each other as our brothers and sisters. And so we step out. And the minute you step off the circle, the only way you can resolve conflict is through violence. And unfortunately, we're seeing just too much of that in the world right now.
We are positive, you know, we want to step out.
Yes.
We want to step out.
That's right. Well, Yasin, my dear brother, we're going to... because I really wanted to play one of your tunes as we end, and we'll only have about a minute to do that. But will you come back on the show with me again? We'll get you scheduled again, and we'll have a little more time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. I love you, and thank you so much.
You take care. Peace.
Oh, don't say I'm not your own.